jumping into the rush with the Kostitsyn brothers again. Back to the point for a strike shot.
Yes!
Scores! Tie game! 2-2, the captain, Saku Koivu, ties it up with 6:24 left in the third.
Welcome back to NHL Live. Don LaGreca and Billy Jaffe, who's filling in for E.J. Raddick. We're taking up until 2 o'clock Eastern time, and it's a pleasure to have in studio captain of the Montreal Canadiens, Saku Koivu. Saku, it's Don and Billy. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you.
I think his headset, we need to go down a little bit, huh?
Oh, I think he wants
there
down.
Yeah, I got to go down.
He's got
a bit here.
Sensitive ears.
Yeah. Blowing his ears right out.
Now it's better.
There you go. All right, better?
Yeah.
There.
All right. So how are you feeling after the season? How long does it take to kind of recover from losing in the playoffs?
Well, I think it's more the mental than the physical. Mm-hmm. You know, it was a disappointment for us, and we wanted and we felt that we had a team to go further in the playoffs. But it takes, you know, I guess we're all different, but a couple of weeks, and you kind of forget the what happened, and then you start getting ready for the next season. And in my case this year, I went to play for the Worlds and for my country, Finland, in Halifax and Quebec City. So I only had a couple days, and I was back in action, and now finished the tournament last weekend, and now it's time for the summer.
And that obviously helps. I would, you know, going to be able to forget the end of the season, go right into another tournament that's almost a one and done. For argument's sake, it is. You know, I know they have the round robin, et cetera, but it's that feeling of we have to win every game here again. So I'm assuming that helps you kind of get over the Montreal thing as well. But I want to ask you, having played in the World Championships, how much time now physically will you take off before you start serious training? I'm not talking about a 20-minute bike ride. I'm talking about hockey training, getting ready for the season.
I think, well, in my case, when we were younger, it was I was able to take more time off and you know, get back right at it. But now it feels that the longer you wait, the tougher it gets. So usually it's about 2 to 3 weeks if you're healthy. I mean, with injuries, it's a different case, but if everything is okay, it's 2 weeks, 3 weeks, and then get back slowly 4 or 5 times a week, and then when you start, you know, really getting back in shape, then you add maybe a couple times a week more, and then the skating starts late July, early August, yeah. And that's when it gets more serious.
What's the difference between playing for the Stanley Cup and playing for your country?
Well, I think the Stanley Cup Finals, they're so long and so demanding. I think that's the biggest difference. Mm-hmm. You know, the Olympics or the Worlds, it's a 2 week rush, you know, there's that one game that you have to win to get into a bronze game. Sorry, in the medal games, and final is a one game, so it's a lot easier to get ready mentally, and it's mm-hmm. not as demanding physically. You know, I can just imagine how guys are feeling in the Pittsburgh and the Detroit guys right now. It's a tough battle, and especially teams that goes to a 6-game, 7-game series. There's not a lot of time for rest, so I think that's the biggest difference is the physical part and also the mental. I mean, it's tough to get you ready for every game for about 2 months.
Now, will you be able to, you know, sit yourself down and watch the Stanley Cup, or is it something that, you know, there's some guys I know that just are hockey junkies, and there's other guys that say, I can't watch these two other teams playing it. I feel like we could be there or should be there. And you know what? I'm hockeyed out right now. Which one are you?
Well, I think in my case is as soon as I lost the next week, 10 days, you hate hockey. You don't want to hear about it. You don't want to see it on TV. But then after when you get over with, you know, especially in the finals when the action really gets going, it's fun to watch. And if you have some guys that you know from back home or that you play with before and are having a chance to win the cup, it's you want to cheer for them. And you know, right now we have two great teams with a lot of skills, a lot of youth in Pittsburgh and Detroit, obviously a very talented team. So it's going to be fun to watch.
And which guys on these out of Detroit and Pittsburgh would you call yourself familiar with or better friends with? You've got a few Finns playing here.
Yeah, I think the Jarkko Ruutu from Pittsburgh is probably the one that I know the best, and like we all know, he's a real gentleman, and we all love him, right?
And he's part of the Finnish military, which I know is a commitment that everybody has to make for a year there too. But he talks about being able to be an artillery guy, huh? What were you?
I don't even know what he called it in English, but I was shooting the planes down when somebody was at it. You know, if somebody will attack, I'm going to be right there in the border.
So you were not in the plane. You
no,
were,
no, no,
you were,
I'm on the ground shooting them down.
A gunner.
It's a pretty important position, no matter what language you want to put it in.
But
That's a tough spot to be. You talked about the war of attrition you have to go through to try to win a Stanley Cup. How much do you think Montreal suffered against Philadelphia, having to go seven games against Boston, a rivalry like that?
Yeah, I think we felt a little tired in the Philly series. I think also we had a very young team, first time, and for a lot of guys in a situation like that. So it was a great learning experience for us and for the future. But I think that's where teams will have advantages if they can win a series in 4 or 5 games and have a couple extra days of rest. And we felt that we were right there. All the games felt that we had the chance to win. But you have to give credit. They played a really smart defensive game, and their goaltender was extremely hot against us.
You bring up youth, and you just talked about goaltending. Was it Carey Price youth, in your opinion, that perhaps affected him the most? I mean, he still did a wonderful job. I'm not raking him over the coals by any stretch, but obviously everybody was saying he was just about the savior. And then he had, like any other good goaltender, he had some trouble there. Was it his youth? Was it his physical conditioning, perhaps? Did you notice that he struggled with a bit there at the end?
Well, it's tough to say. And he was so good for us after the deadline. Mm-hmm. And I think everybody's expectations grew so high after his performance. But he didn't play bad. The thing is that everybody was just saying that it was his fault, but I'd rather look at when you can have 40, 45 shots a game and you only score 2 goals. Mm-hmm. You'll have, we had some other problems as well. And being a goaltender, especially when you're 20 years old, first year in the league, there's a lot of pressure. And like I said, it after the season is like, we have a goaltender in our team that is going to win a Stanley Cup for Montreal. And when it happens, it's a different thing, but the future looks really good when you have a goaltender like that in a team.
Do you think at times he tried to do too much?
Carey?
Yeah.
It's a funny thing when you score a couple goals, you're really relaxed and you're confident. And when you're struggling, you go through some tough times, you start doing too much and you're thinking that you're not doing enough. And maybe that was the case for him. I'm not a goaltender expert, so was he doing enough or not enough? I don't know, but it wasn't his fault that we're not playing right now.
All right, so you get an opportunity. You've obviously played against the Pittsburgh Penguins. The team played against them 4 times this year. You're very familiar with them. Obviously, the Detroit Red Wings in here. Do you think that experience, and this is the topic that everybody's mm-hmm. been talking about the last 3 or 4 days, though, the experience of the Red Wings seems to be the one real great differential between these two teams. Do you think that will factor as much as some people are saying into the series?
Well, I think the experience does play a role in the playoffs. And for sure they have the advantage on that side. But, they have guys that have been there. They've gone through some disappointments, and I think that's the biggest thing. You become a champion team by losing big games and learning from those mistakes and coming back. And I think that's the advantage that Detroit has. But at the same time, there's a lot of players in Pittsburgh team that played big games in juniors or in the minors, and they've won a lot of things. So they're young and they're hungry, and we'll see. It's interesting. But the thing is that Detroit really has 4 lines they can put out there. They have an experienced team, and if I would have to put and bet money, I would do it on Detroit side.
About a month ago, we had Sheldon Surrey in here, and of course, he was a major reason why your power play was so good last mm-hmm. season. He leaves, and still, you have the best power play in the National Hockey League. Why is this power play so good?
Well, I think we have, it's not about 1 or 2 guys. Maybe last year it was everything went through Sheldon, and mm-hmm. and we used his shot a lot. And obviously, when you have a player like that, you want to use it. But I think this year we had, last year we had 1 power play unit that was working, and this year we had 2. So I think it was, when there was a couple of guys feeling tired, not going well, the other guys stepped up, and we had a different kind of approach. We still shot the puck a lot from the point, but it wasn't so one-dimensional as it was last year.
Well, you have a guy back on the point in Andrei Markov, who is, I think, in the hockey world is known for being one of the better two-way defensemen in the league, but in the general public world probably is vastly underrated, I would say. And the other guy is Mark Streit, or depending on if you want to call him Straight or Streit, it's depending on which right. broadcast you're with there. But here's a guy who is, this is just my opinion, not yours, Saku, obviously. I think he's okay to good defensively. but he sees the ice so well offensively from that back line. That's why they can use him both as a forward as a defenseman. But on the power play, he just seems to be able to find the seams very, very well. Why do you think that?
Well, you know, his vision is just unbelievable, and he has a good shot. Mm-hmm. He can move the puck, but he can be a threat with his shot. And you know, that players like that, it's fun to watch. He went through some tough times a year ago, didn't play a lot. And not one day was he crying about it and didn't feel sorry for himself. So he kept working and came back this year more confident and just overall a better player. What's going to happen next year? Because they, you know,
he's up for a big raise.
He is.
He's
yeah.
up for a real big raise.
If you play defense or you play four, I don't care. You score 60 some points. He's looking for a raise, and obviously we're hoping that you know he'll stay in Montreal, because I don't know if we can lose another guy like that in a power play and still be effective.
He only makes, you know, again, not a lot for NHL standards. Now $600,000. I might be off by a few dollars there, here or there, but. He's in the last year of his contract there. I mean, this is a guy putting up 60-something points, can play, and was playing 17, 18, 19 minutes, mm-hmm. sometimes well into the 20s. Yeah, you're talking a few million a year right now. This is going to be a tough guy for the Canadians to fit into in this mm-hmm. cap world that we live in. On the other hand, there are a lot of teams out there that might say, well, geez, do I really want to pay $4 million a year? But somebody's going to pay this guy, you know, $3 to $4 million a year.
Yeah, I think that's the case, and like I said, it's not an easy job to be a GM nowadays with the cap and when you have already guys making a lot of money, but I'm obviously hoping that he's going to be there for us for next year.
And he's kind of one of those, I call it the new age era of rovers, to use that football or soccer term right there. You're seeing a lot of guys now more and more become more valuable that go D to forward or vice mm-hmm. versa, that, you know, Matthew Dandenault could do it mm-hmm. as well. Every team is going to want to have one or two of these utility players, so to speak, because it does make sense in the cap era.
And it does. And you know, it's a huge advantage, and especially in the playoff run, and when you can have a defenseman playing forward, and if you get a D gets hurt, and you can put him back there, and there's no problem. And like, you know, like you said, at the power play, he was a threat. He was a huge part of our power play there. So you don't get players like that too often.
What's it like to skate to the bench and see, you know, Guy Carbonneau and Doug Jarvis and Kirk Muller? I mean, you talk about guys that were great players, and now they've turned out to be real good coaches too.
Well, you know, that's the respect that they have is there right away mm-hmm. because of what they did as a players. But it's more the you know, what they bring as a coaching staff now, and with Bob Gainey as a GM, all the Stanley Cups that they won. And when you have a coaching staff like that, they can teach you, they can bring you so much, and you can learn from them. And I don't care if you're 20-year-old or you're 33 like myself, you know, there's always things that you can improve and you can learn. And when you have guys like that behind the bench, it obviously makes it easier.
Now, I know that you told us at the beginning of the interview, you're just finished with the World Championships. I know you're here on a little bit of business round, but you got a few weeks right now before you kind of ramp it up again. So what's the plans? Every hockey player, you know, you always have your favorite spot to go vacation a little bit. You always do a few things, kind of you have your little poison, so to speak. What's the next few weeks hold for Saku Koivu?
Well, it's as boring as going home. Usually, you know, you go on a vacation, you go somewhere south and get some sun for a while. But because the world's we felt with the family that it's time for us to go home and spend some time there. We have two little kids and you know, grandparents are missing them. So it's we're flying back to Finland next week and taking a couple weeks off and then getting back at it.
Well, hopefully you can leave the little kids with the grandparents for a few days.
Now you're talking.
There you go. We just had our first child 6 months ago, and we're learning all about that right now.
We hear so much about how tough it is to play in Montreal because it's a hockey-mad city with all of the media. You've been there forever. How tough is it to play in that city?
Well, I mean, I don't want to call it that it's so tough and make it sound like it's so negative. I love it. I think it's exciting. It's different than in a lot of cities. There's no doubt about that. You know, people there, the reporters, the fans, they're used to of winning the cups and the success. They're demanding, but if you ever watched the TV or you watched the game or you were at the game during the playoffs, you felt that excitement and you felt how passionate they are about the game. And for me as a hockey player, when you can play in front of 21,000 people and are as loud as they were, mm-hmm. You know, that's what I play for.
How does it help you to have a John Beliveau around every game? Do you bounce things off? Do you get a chance to talk to him?
Well, not in the game days, but we see him often there. And obviously, if there's a controversy, which happens once in a while in Montreal, you know, you can go and you can talk to him about it, you can ask him advice. He was captain there for so long, mm-hmm. and just a knowledge about the life and about the game overall. So it helps to have people like him around.
Every player has a favorite city or two to go into, and Montreal happens to be one of them that many players around the league look forward to going. But because you live there, and it's not just because of the fans. I mean, obviously that's a huge thing about it. Just the city, the atmosphere, the energy, the I mean, everything, you know, it's very European about it. With that said, since you live there, where's your favorite place to go outside of Montreal?
Well, I think there's two things. One is I love to come to New York. Mm-hmm. I think it's a great place to visit and do a little bit of shopping. You go and you play in the Madison Square Garden. That's you know, when you were a kid, you know, I saw a lot of games, and that was always a dream to play here. But another thing is we have a long, cold winter in Montreal, so it's always fun to go to L.A. and get some sun and a little water and go on the beach. So it's a tough pick.
You just have to be careful when you're playing that you don't burn, because if you burn, it just, you know, your skin underneath all the gear and everything, it's just brutal.
And it doesn't look good on TV.
No, it doesn't. And they know what you've been doing, too. Yeah. And so you can't say we're thinking prepared for this game, because I know that you were thinking on the lounge chair.
Well, didn't something happen? Didn't Carey Price get burned or something? You guys were, like, rubbing his face at one point. Like, wasn't there a moment where I think he got too much sun?
His nose was pretty red.
Gotta be. It doesn't feel good when you start sweating. You got all that gear on it. You burnt yourself. It does not feel well.
But you got to feel good about the future. The Kostichin brothers really surprised me, especially Sergei. I mean, Andre mm-hmm. really played well all year, but then Sergei came on, and we know Mike Komisarek and Chris Higgins because we do the show mm-hmm. here out of New yeah. York, and they're Long Island guys. But you said they're a young team, so you feel really good about the future.
Yeah, I think we have to be confident. And this season, there was a lot of question marks and because of the youth and not having the experience. I think we proved a lot of people that, yeah, we can do it. And more importantly, we proved ourselves that we're a great team. But the one thing is that next year is not going to be any easier. It's going to mm-hmm. be tougher, and you know, the challenge is going to be a bigger. Nobody's going to take us lightly, and we have to be ready from the beginning. But when you have that much talent that we had this year, I think we'll be fine.
Exactly. This might be an unfair question, but I'll still throw it out there. You know, you mentioned you're 33 and you're old compared to some of your other guys. You're really, let's face it, you're really not that old, but how long could you see yourself playing for everything that you've gone through and how you feel and how you say each year is a little more difficult? Mm-hmm. How long can you see yourself playing professionally?
Well, I think at this point in my career, you know, the biggest thing is staying healthy and not going through any major injuries. But if I would have to say now, I would say like 3 to 4 years. And then I'm going to obviously look at different, you know, options. Do I still want to play? Am I still good enough to play? I think players nowadays, they really are in good shape. They take care of themselves. You know, you see a lot of guys playing 37, 38. So
regularly, yeah.
Yeah. So I think at least 3 to 4 years and maybe a few more.
You looking forward to the new schedule where you're going to get a chance to play everybody next year?
Yeah, I think it's more fun. You know, it's not that I don't like Buffalo, but going there four times rather go and visit some different cities.
You get to go to L.A.
That's right.
You have a good chance
right.
of getting to go
it's
to
not gonna
L.A.
It's going to be once every 3 years like it was before.
I agree. I can't wait for this new schedule.
It's going to be fun.
Yeah, I know it's the old schedule, but it's a lot.
It's been three years,
so we'll call it the old schedule.
And it's also like this year we didn't play against you know, Vancouver, Calgary, and Edmonton, and those games are fun.
Mm-hmm.
Especially
for Montreal.
Exactly.
Actually, you know what? For those other teams,
yeah.
It means a lot more, whether it's home or away, to play the Montreal yeah. Canadiens.
Or before we let you go, just put into words that rivalry you have with Toronto and just what it's like to play in those games.
Well, you can feel the tension a day or 2 days before the game. And it's Saturday night, Hockey Night in Canada, Saturday night in Montreal or in Toronto. There's half the Habs fan and half of the Maple Leaf fan. So those are the most fun games, and it's just the atmosphere is great. You know, especially like, you know, last year we had the last final game of the season, and if, you know, with the win we would have made the playoffs, and those are the games that you play for.
Yeah. Saku, I know you're busy. Thank you for giving us a couple of minutes. Really appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
As the captain of the Montreal Canadiens, Saku Koivu, when we come back, we'll take more of your calls at 877-645-6696 and your emails, NHL Live at xmradio.ca. It's Don LaGreca and Billy Jaffe here on NHL Live.